The Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine, which is, well, what it sounds like, reports not only that sleep disorder diagnoses are at an all-time high in both developed and developing nations across the world, but that over the past decade, the rate has been increasing dramatically. With that in mind, it's less than surprising that a growing number of people are seeking both traditional and less than traditional treatments. But are these different treatments helping us get the sleep our bodies and our brains need, or are they simply subbing in for true rest? Benzodiazepines, trazodone, Ambien, Remaltion, all prescription drugs that all target different areas of the brain, yet all have the same goal: help a person to fall asleep and to stay asleep. Roughly 1 in 5 people take regular sleep aids, and that number increases to 1 in 3 for older age demographics. Look, the reality is that people use medications because they often work and because the effects are desirable over the alternatives, not sleeping. So it's easy to see why these solutions are appealing. And I'm not anti-medication, obviously. I prescribe these medications appropriately, and they do help a lot of people, particularly those struggling with severe cases of insomnia, and oftentimes in the initial phases of treatment for depression and anxiety, where patients need better sleep to improve their health. As a doctor, one of my first priorities in treating a patient who's struggling is making sure that this patient can get good quality sleep. And quite honestly, these medications can be good at just doing that. But there are some concerns to be aware of when we're looking at the rising rates of medication usage and the prescription of medications for sleep. Number one are the side effects, which are a factor with virtually any medication. Take Ambien, for example, which accounts for tens of thousands of emergency room visits every year due to accidents caused by its lingering effects. The FDA actually changed the dose recommendation for women because it's metabolized more slowly by women, making that drive to school or to work a lot more dangerous. Add to that the high price to these medications, we come to the obvious conclusion. These should not be our first and only treatment option when it comes to helping our brains properly rest and get good sleep. Certainly, many people try over-the-counter remedies. Many supplements and holistic medicines give vague promises about better sleep, but the data is mixed, to say the least. We will talk about some of the supplements that can help sleep, but the most important piece I see people missing is their own detailed version of sleep hygiene. So often in my practice, when I hear about someone's sleep challenges, I quickly hear about some easy solutions, like dimming the lights earlier in the evening. I remember one of the first patients I spoke with about sleep. She had a child that was having a hard time settling down at night. And I just mentioned, hey, do you dim the lights when the sun goes down? It turned out all the lights in her house were on, and they were on bright. And that simple move, dimming the lights and settling down her house hours before bedtime, helped her and her toddler get better, restful sleep night after night. There are a few options you may have heard of that have captivated a lot of attention of late. CBD, derived from the hemp plant known as cannabidiol, has exploded in popularity over the past few years. While CBD, extracted from the cannabis plant, in no way gets you high, it's gained a reputation for instilling calm and a sense of relaxation, which has caused a great deal of interest for those suffering from chronic anxiety or sleep disorders. And while there's an enormous amount of anecdotal evidence promising that CBD can do everything under the sun, the actual evidence is more scarce.
All to say that we're awaiting good quality evidence to help us really understand how CBD affects the brain and affects sleep. If it's something that works for you and helps you get good rest, that's great. And if not, if it's something that you want to explore, my request is you do it in an intentional manner and use safe, regulated products.
The supplement melatonin is a little more intriguing. Melatonin is a hormone. It's actually produced from serotonin in the pineal gland of your brain. It responds to darkness and it acts as a signal to your brain that it's time to go to sleep. So it seems like an obvious slam dunk. However, the data again is mixed. About a third of people who take melatonin report an improvement in their sleep, with a better outcome in treating situational sleep events like jet lag, for example. It's important to know, though, that the effective dose of melatonin is much less than the average person thinks. Seriously, about 0.5 milligram to 1 milligram is enough to get the results that you want. So start small if you want to give something like melatonin a shot, but please beware. I meet so many patients who haven't gotten the memo. Melatonin is a very powerful hormone that affects a lot more than your sleep, and often I see patients taking 5, 10, or 20 milligrams. In fact, we once had a young woman come to our clinical practice with a primary concern that she was tired all the time. In fact, she was drinking so much coffee to make up for this fatigue. Well, do you want to know what the real culprit was? This young woman, under so much stress of school, had had a little trouble sleeping, and so she'd gone down to the local corner store and asked for something to help. They'd given her a nice bottle of melatonin, 10 milligrams of melatonin, about 10 times the dose that I would usually prescribe. It made a lot of sense why this young woman was drinking so much coffee. It's because there was so much melatonin in her system, she couldn't wake up. Many people living with sleep disorders will also turn to recreational substances, either intentionally or unintentionally through built habit, to get sleep. Even relatively mild amounts of alcoholic drinks can become habit-forming, and the results can be quite harmful to our sleep and our mental health in the long term. As a sedative, alcohol does, in fact, lull you into sleep, as I'm sure many of you have experienced, but research shows us that the brain is unable to enter the full extent of sleep cycles, meaning that the same substance that puts you to sleep is keeping you from the full extent of sleep's organizational and cleansing properties. We're seeing that the way we sleep is deeply tied to the way we live. And the best treatments are oftentimes rooted in the simple changes we make to our environment, to our schedule, and to our daily habits. All to say, I think your sleep is a neglected piece of your mental health and your mental fitness. And I know in my life, paying more attention to my sleep, monitoring it, engaging with improving my sleep in an active way, improving the environment in which I sleep, adding a noise machine and an air filter, upgrading my mattress, talking to my partner about the fact she snores sometimes. These have all been instrumental in improving my sleep quality and feeling that directly as a more robust sense of my own mental health and mental fitness. And it's why I want you to hear my encouragement to start tonight in getting a better night's sleep to improve your mental health.
Let's talk about some key takeaways from this module. Sleep disorders and poor quality sleep are at an all-time high across the globe and have been increasing dramatically in recent years, creating a significant problem for our collective mental health. Many turn to prescription sleep aids to try and get a restful night's sleep. However, these medications can come with some significant side effects, the risk of dependency, and don't address some simple, reversible causes of poor sleep. So, for many people, there's a need to start with the basics of good sleep hygiene and work up from there to design a good night's sleep. Along with prescription medications, many people use a variety of supplements as sleep aids. Most popular among these is melatonin, which can be a good option for some people. Speak to your healthcare team to see which options could be appropriate for you. alcohol can be quite harmful to our sleep, though it is used by many people to initiate sleep. Research shows us that alcohol-induced sleep is actually impaired sleep because the brain isn't able to enter its normal sleep cycle. Your brain cannot heal and repair without sleep, and simply put, getting a good night's sleep consistently can do wonders to improve your mental health. Make sure to check out the resources in this section to help design your ideal sleep routine.